Well, I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 1.
Do that Bible study.
You have to understand that the book of Acts, the first chapter, is only the introduction to the Acts, the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost is fulfilled, and at the time appointed of the Father is fulfilled, then the real book of Acts starts, the Acts of the Apostles. But the Acts or the actions of the Apostles cannot start until the Feast of Pentecost is fulfilled. Everything else is just grammar school up until that time. I like her better when she's depressed, by the way. Let me just let the record show.
So noted.
Huh?
So noted.
He lies.
The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, do you all know about Theophilus? Theophilus was a bishop of the church. This was shortly after the resurrection, shortly after the... And the disciples had numerous parchments. There's allegedly one that was the source document for the four Gospels. It's allegedly written in Hebrew, and it doesn't really... It's no longer extant. But it was... The parchments were rolls of papyrus or rolls of leather that had the things that they wanted to remember about Jesus. Well, as time continued, very shortly, what happened is there began to be stories added and fanciful tales and other gospels began to quickly be added to the... So the book of... Let's keep your finger there and go to book the Luke 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they believe them unto us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. We got Theophilus again. This is probably written... No, I don't want to... The point of it is, Luke here and Luke in Acts both wrote to a person who was like considered, at least if not the head, one of the major leaders of the church. And he wrote these books. He wrote Luke and the Acts to set in order these things that were taking place and all the random crap and the false gospels and everything that was taking place. It was so much excitement that the people that were believers, now they were in every one of these synagogues all over the world, they were convinced that it was the end very shortly. And we know what happened in Rome. They were so convinced that it was the end that when Nero started the fires that were burning the city of Rome, the Christians ran out into the streets and threw their furniture and belongings onto the fire because they believed it was the end. And they wanted it to be the end. And they then were persecuted, tried in courts of law in Rome, and they were put into the circuses for show. And the trial records say the following. They say that they were tried and found guilty of crimes against humanity, for they, by their actions, it was evident that they hated humanity. And that's pretty strong. But that gives you an idea of what the climate was like all over the Mediterranean world. And now, all kinds of weird stories going on, all kinds of fanciful tales about this Jesus. And you can imagine what they do now with him. Can you imagine what they did then? I mean, my God in heaven, they would tell you every story that came, you know, everybody had some... Just think of the lies. This condition You know, some people have this condition, if they speak something, then it's for them it's true. Have you heard of anybody like that?
Yeah.
Huh?
Maybe one
person like that? If they speak something, then they believe it's true. Well, you can imagine the whole of the Mediterranean was peopled with guys like Harry. And they tell these stories about Jesus a couple times, and pretty soon they believed it, well, they were true. Jesus, like, when he was a little boy, they heard it. Good authority, because my cousin Josephus said that's from his cousin that was with Jesus and when he was in Egypt, and he knew that Jesus took and he formed the clay into little birds, and then he breathed on them, and they flew away. And he was a real bad guy. Sometimes he beat up people, and then he'd breathe on them, and they'd bring them back to life. He killed a couple of guys. It's true, you know. I saw it with my own eyes. Well, I tell you what really happened is that Jesus was secretly married to that whore, Mary Magdalene. And they had a kid. And they secreted them away, and they went over to the south of France, and they started this whole new... Can you imagine the thousands of stories that came about that time? And so, Luke was a physician. He was trained at least in setting down things in order. So his purpose was to write first. Well, he wrote the book of Acts first, and then later he sat down and set in order the Gospels, and then he wrote the book of Luke. Okay? Everybody understand that? Can you sort of get a feel for what's going on? Now, we're back to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, the former one, he's talking about the former book that I wrote, which was the book I was wrong. He wrote Luke first. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You understand that Luke wasn't one of the apostles. Mark wasn't one of the apostles. But in both of them, both the book of Mark and the book of Luke, there's the evidence of what they were doing. Mark was a little kid, he was 9 years old, and he was in the upper room during the Last Supper, and he was peeking, watching. And he followed the disciples out to the Garden of Gethsemane after they got drunk, drinking all the wine from the Seder Supper. And he was there when the Roman soldiers, the palace guard, the temple guard, came to arrest Jesus. And in fact, if you read it, it says that they grabbed his coat, his garment, and he spun out of his garment and ran naked back to his house. And his father was very rich, and that's where they had the upper room. That's where all of the disciples now were hiding out, because there was still a price on their head, remember? So all the disciples were hiding out. They were all fairly ignorant sluts. Didn't have much of an education at all. They couldn't even pronounce the words right. So, you got the picture? And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Again, they had the image of what things were going to look like. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power, efficacy. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. How long is that? Olivet to Jerusalem, Sabbath day's journey.
No, it's 200. Is it 200 or? I don't know. I don't know.
A Sabbath day's journey is the amount of distance you're able to travel on the Sabbath day without breaking the law, right? For Lee, the Sabbath day's journey in distance is 12 feet, and in time it's 3 seconds. If she gets beyond the Sabbath day's journey, she becomes a raving Gentile.
I've never sat off this to the back office.
We've seen this before.
I did not know that. Kidding me now. Hence our point.
Hence.
Ergo.
If only you were standing a Sabbath day's journey away from her.
Of course, now we have Ed, whose distance of the Sabbath day's journey is so short that we have not even been able to measure that
distance
yet.
The eye can't see it.
The eye can't see it.
It's smaller than the eye can see.
But I know he has to get in the car.
He has to be in the same room physically touching somebody, or else he's gone beyond the Sabbath day's journey.
It's an analogy.
That's how he justified it.
Are they having javelin in the next year's Olympics?
That is bad.
I don't know.
The Sabbath day's journey is a truth. It's 2,000 cubits. I mean, that's the distance that established. And that's, by the way, the distance that constitutes a neighborhood.
Cool.
And in fact, urban planners, if they know anything, and they're planning neighborhoods, they put a park every 2,000 cubits.
How far is 2,000 cubits?
A cubit is 25 inches.
2,000. Okay, Mr. Sides,
so 1,000 times 50, 4,000 feet?
About 8-tenths of a mile.
8-tenths of a mile.
See, I'm from Jersey, I was able to figure that out.
A Jersey cubit.
That's kind of about right. We're going to get some park here, then a park down through on something.
But anyway. And when it, and again, but you understand, because of that we redeem the time and space is meaningless because we are now the body, we have to think in terms of the members of the body what their individual Sabbath day's journey is. And it's a real thing. I mean, you will know it. And as you mature,
What are some people longer and some shorter?
Repentance.
Well, no, because it's like whether or not you're a lightning rod in the body or not. It's like, well, the more sensitive you are to spiritual matters, the shorter the Sabbath day's journey.
See, that means that Ed and I are cool after all.
That's why y'all are all sitting on the same couch.
Except in Ed's case.
Yeah, but that means.
And when they were coming in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. That's where they were staying, all of these disciples, and they were in the upper room. You remember Jerusalem was built for the feasts. Mark happened to be, his family was wealthy. And he had to have had this, and you can prove it if you think about it. He had to have had a building or a structure in which that was in Jerusalem, but also in that was near the Garden of Gethsemane, and that was like Highland Park of Jerusalem, because it was the most beautiful park. And it was there were only large estates there, but even the very wealthy had as their big, big houses, the upper floors of their homes were for the pilgrims. So, and the pilgrim, and so this had to be a pretty big house because they had all these guys, and they stayed there for 10 days because Jesus told them to go back and tarry in Jerusalem. You got to remember there's a price in their head, so they couldn't go in and out. And they had to be in a place big enough so it wouldn't be strange that they were all there. So they were in this upper room. They weren't 120 people in the upper room, which is what a lot of denominations teach. The houses weren't that big. There were these disciples in the upper room. Other people from Galilee were in other places around Jerusalem. They had made a signal that they would gather together. There was a price on all of them. That's why they were in one accord. They were in fear. They were in one accord. They gathered together at the Column of Boaz in the temple to be insignificant. They probably dressed differently than they normally did. So they were in fear. Read what it says. In verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now they were all in this Mark's house. You got it? You got the picture? They're praying, they're waiting. And they had to, by law, they had to go be purified in the temple by the ashes of the red heifer because they touched a dead body. Who was the dead body? Who they'd come in contact. They were in the same room with a dead body. By the law, they had to start the purification process 10 days before the Feast of Pentecost. That's what they were doing. So they were hiding out in the upper room, going to the temple, going through this ashes of the red heifer process, trying to maintain a very, very low profile because there was a price in their hands.
Didn't they have to tell somebody at the temple why they were going through the purification process?
But remember, there were 144,000 priests.
Cut to a different guy every time.
No. But also, there were many, many of the priests that believed on him. There were believers.
Pick a priest. Pick a friendly Israelite. Those priests were the Sanhedrin?
No. The Sanhedrin was made up of the 72 elders of Israel. The big kahunas.
Monkey mucks.
There were like priests and then like Sanhedrin, right? Like judges?
Oh, well, they could be priests, or they could be rabbis, yeah. They could be Levites, they could be just people in Israel. They didn't have a specific title. The Sanhedrin was a they were the high priest was from the families of the they were a family they were in this case they were the Ananias's family, and they were all of the sect of the Sadducees. So they were the controlling force in the temple at this time. And the Sadducees were those people that didn't necessarily believe in the resurrection. And so, but they were the wealthy ones. One accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, we don't know where this meeting took place. You understand that? They're staying in the upper room above, but we don't know where this meeting took place. It could be anywhere. It could be out in the courtyard here. He stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Remember, according to Jewish law, 120 was the number necessary to start a new community, a new thing. Like if we ever get to be 120, I have no idea what's going to happen, but we're pretty close to it. But I know that 120 is mystically important in the history of
That's the average size of most Bible churches.
And once you get past 120, it goes.
Yeah, it goes to pot.
It goes too big.
Okay. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Al-Sadama, that is to say, the field of blood.
Doesn't it say that he hanged himself?
Man, it's different. There's two different stories.
So it truly is a contradiction.
Huh?
It truly is a contradiction.
Not necessarily, because there's one view that says that he didn't die when he hung, and then he later went out.
Well, that sounds like fudge
it off. He was real bothered after hanging, and then
hang yourself and you don't die. Jeez.
And go and do likewise.
I know that feeling.
Talk about a bad day.
Get a bad day. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now,
what does that mean?
His responsibility let another have. His office.
What's a bishopric?
Bishop. It's an office. It's the office of bishop. Ouch. Just smack him.
Slap him bald head.
Oh, come on. Smack him like you do when you're
wherefore, out. Of these men which you have accompanied. No, because that's. The, if she doesn't like that, then he'll enjoy it.
Oh, wait a minute. I've gotten over that.
And he's the only one with the necktie.
I can see why he got his feet off the floor.
Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Well, of course, he was never heard from again, because the one that was to be chosen by God was Paul.
How do you know that?
Well, it's evident if you read the book of Acts. Matthias is never heard from again. And I mean, a lot of people, I mean, I'm not the only one that says that. I'm the only one that says sometimes, not that one, though.
So much for drawing lots.
Yeah, I mean, it's like trying to do the job of the Holy Spirit by drawing lots. It's like,
Just wait and see what happens.
Just hang around.
It was like there was doubt, so
it's throwing down the fleece. No, what it does, it's throwing down the fleece when the fleece is still alive.
Yeah, right. It runs off.
Because you throw down the sheep.
What a little flip sheep for.
Still on the hoof.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and then again, it's in Greek, it says when the day of Pentecost was fulfilled. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. The word house there is the word for the temple. It's the temple where they were sitting. And they were sitting at the Column of Boaz. And we can, there's a jillion ways I can show you that's the truth. And there appeared unto them like cloven tongues. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they're dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews about devout men out of every nation under heaven. They were devout men, and they were from every nation under heaven because This was the Jubilee year. And so they had to come back to Jerusalem to get their ancestral lands back. Now, the Jubilee would not be determined or said, and the transactions wouldn't take place until a feast of what?
Tabernacles.
No. Yom Kippur, which is in the fall, so they've got some days to wait here. But all the people came from all the world to get their ancestral lands back. This is one of the few times it was a true Feast of Jubilees in all of history. So that God snuck up on them. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in parts of Libya, about Crene and of strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, do we hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God? And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. Now, everybody remember the new wine demon?
I know it real well.
I figured you did. There was a demon called Corticus. Do you remember talking about this?
Mm-hmm. No. I remember demon stuff.
Yeah.
Hop a bus and suck a bus.
Bacchus.
Don't eat.
Give me a quarter of that gas.
This is truly an evil group. What?
Demon of the new wine. You know about this? You may live at your house. I like it.
These tongues of fire, this is the time that they think that was above their head. Is that right? Is that where this happened?
Right. I can't find Demon Corticus.
Well, just tell us.
Well, anyway. The demon, this the third hour is what time?
12. 9.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. This is which was that spoken of by the prophet Joel. Now.
So does that mean it's 9 o'clock at night?
No, 9 o'clock in the morning. The third hour, the first watch.
What?
6
a.m. I said 9 in the morning. No, that's the way you looked at it.
The first watch is at 6 in the morning. Second watch?
4.
No. 9. Third hour. Anyway, long time, long story. The third hour is means it's 9 in the morning. Now, these men are not drunk with wine, but full of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The scriptures elsewhere say, Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe, and I think I can prove to you, that the same receptors in your brain that alcohol attaches to, so that alcohol can affect you. Do you understand? Nothing can affect your brain unless there's a receptor for it. There's not a receptor for, like, trees. So trees can't affect you.
That's why some people get hooked on cocaine and some don't.
Right.
Some people have receptors, some don't.
Okay. But there's all people have a receptor for alcohol. Because all people will get drunk if they drink enough. But the problem is that same receptor that was used to get happy, to get, well, doctor told me I should drink a little wine for my back.
I saw that doctor on TV.
Off the record.
Well, I'm just drinking with my friends. It's just necessary in my business.
Yeah, you need it in my business.
You need it.
I don't trust you, you don't have a cocktail.
Right.
Cut down to me and Johnny Walker, my friend.
Anyway, the point of it is that the drinking is a childish thing. And it says, now, let be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the receptors be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so what I pray that this weekend will happen this weekend is that will occur, that you can go down there as a little child, and that the receptors of our brains will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
I've always had a problem with that in particular, because I was always taught that it was only for a certain time in biblical history, and not since, okay? That's
silly.
And I just haven't come around to.
Well, what you have to do is get the I out of the sentence. And say, Father, reveal yourself to me without my theology. Mm-hmm. That's why it says, except you become as a little child. If you try to bring theology into the kingdom of God, you will never know God. You'll only know about God. Right. And you won't know about Him right. Anyway, as we've seen there, it was the sound of a rushing and mighty wind, but without wind. It was like tongues as of fire, but without fire. It's like remember we've said so many times that what you hear is what you see, and what you see is what you'll do. And think about what happened here. The Holy Spirit's coming first appealed to the ear. It was a sound from heaven. It rushed with a mighty force into the temple. It was a rushing and mighty wind, yet without wind. It was an invisible cause producing audible effects. Next, it appealed to the eye, the appearance of tongues as of fire. And it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. It should say tongues parting asunder. And what it means is it's as if a piece of flame rested on the top of each of the 120 people that were there. The 120 people have now constituted a new reality. And it fulfilled even the most obscure of the oral laws of the 120. And again, it's this thing that they were in one accord. They were trying to keep a low profile. Okay, guys, we can't let the temple guards know we're here. We don't want to deny Jesus, but you know, this is a little risky. I know we've got to go to the temple, otherwise, by law, we'll be cut off from the people. But we got to keep it real low because there's a whole lot of temple guards that are our enemies. They'll deliver us to the high priest.
Don't wear any of those Jesus t-shirts.
So what happens?
Flip
flames are dancing over their head.
Yeah, real inconspicuous.
Their names are $1.55.
Look at these guys.
Yeah, look at these guys.
I get their name on TV.
Nearly. Yeah, they're kicking me t-shirts.
It has right.
He's the leader of the
leader of
the
college.
No, he's the leader of the campaign against.
I control the paper. And
you control the paper. I control.
Knows a former kid show host presents an ever-present threat.
Failed kid show host.
What is that about?
Even all the real estate capital.
Let's not forget about Shakespeare. Clock.
Fools confounding. Blah blah blah.
Fools confounding the wise.
Well, they mentioned the part.
Talk about God thumbing his nose at their concerns. They're all freaked out. He gets them right there.
Okay.
They're all afraid that if he found out, all of a sudden, what are they going to do?